There are 11 modules that restorative justice facilitators in training have to study in order to do an exam before they are officially appointed as restorative justice facilitators. In two of those modules, Module 8, entitled Clientele Diversity, and Module 11, entitled Ethical Code, there are some concerning teachings that restorative justice facilitators have to wrestle with, and they have to make their own minds up as to whether they will proceed or get out of the system. Now, you may say, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, that I personally, and I'm not speaking only about me, but about you, do not accept any of these teachings that I'm about to show you on the screen. But that is not the issue. The issue here is, what is the intention of the restorative justice training program concerning me as a trainee, and the impact that I will have on those that I counsel in the society? What is their goal? What are they trying to achieve through these teachings? Let's go through the teachings, and I'm coming straight to the point. In Module 8, Clientele Diversity, in Slide 5, entitled Diversity Factors and Impact on RJ. RJ means restorative justice. What they're saying by diversity is you have all kinds of people that you will meet, and you will have to resolve conflicts between them. And so they're making you aware that there are different kinds of people, some of them different from the majority in the population, that you as a restorative justice facilitator will have to try to resolve the disputes in a peaceable way. And the first thing that they deal with is gender. And they say that gender is socially constructed or defined, changeable. In other words, society determines whether you are male or female. And also, society determines that gender is not fixed, that gender is changeable. If you want to change your gender right now, they say all you need to do is to say, I am a woman. Or you as a woman say, I am a man, and that's it. You have now changed. Gender identity is what that is. How can I, as a Christian, accept that definition of gender? And that is what the Jamaican government wants me to think and to promote, even though I don't believe it. Let's move on. Slide 21. Homophobia is defined as an extremely irrational aversion to homosexuality and homosexual people. Now, there are some things wrong with this definition. First of all, irrational. Irrational means unreasonable, foolish, nonsense. Then the next one is aversion. Aversion means that you are against it. You are opposed to it. In other words, if I'm going to be a restorative justice facilitator, I am required to accept this definition of homophobia, that people who think that homosexuality is wrong are unreasonable, and people who are opposed to homosexual practices are doing something that they ought not to do. That is going to bring about a crisis of conscience and a crisis of faith. What am I going to do? It gets worse. Slide 22, vulnerabilities. There is a certain group of people whose gender identity is different from the majority of people, and whose sexual orientation or inclination is different from the majority of people. And here are some vulnerabilities that I, as a restorative justice facilitator, must bear in mind. Number one, denial of the right to love and sexual expression. Now, I didn't know that homosexuals had the right to have these sexual attractions. I also did not know that homosexuals had the right to express their sexual desire in anal sexual relations. Am I to accept that as a restorative justice facilitator trainee? Does it go contrary to the scriptures? It also says that these people lack protection under the Constitution, including the Charter of Fundamental Rights and Freedoms. Section 13 and Section 18 has what is called the Savings Law Clause, in which it says every law that was made before Jamaica's independence in 1962 is to be saved or preserved. They're not supposed to be abolished by any court. And if it must be adjusted, it will take an act of Parliament to change it. That's why an attempt to change the buggery law recently, and there were two judges that wanted it to be changed and one judge who didn't want it to be changed. That's why it didn't end up being changed, because the savings law says that the law forbidding buggery in 1867, made before 1962, is to be saved. It's to be preserved. So, the Ministry of Justice says that homosexuals lack protection under the Constitution. It is because of the Savings Law Clause. And also, in the status of marriage, in Section 18, Subsection 2, marriage is defined as the voluntary union of one man and one woman, and that no other form of marriage is acceptable in Jamaica. And so the Ministry of Justice says that homosexuals are excluded from legislative recognition and protection of stable relationships. Now, do I, as a restorative justice facilitator, have to change my beliefs and accept that homosexuals have the right to practice homosexuality, that the Constitution of Jamaica has to be changed to allow them to practice homosexuality, that the definition of marriage must be changed to include homosexual marriage? Must I, as a restorative justice facilitator, believe these things? How can I do that and remain a Christian? I mean, I may not accept it, but that's the intention of the government, that I have that way of thinking about homosexuality and influence others to have the same idea. Slide 24 is on the topic of religion. And it says, religious teachings. I'm going to take that by itself. I will come back to fear of God. Religious teachings are strong in Jamaica and foster or produce intolerances. The context, intolerances towards homosexuality. Well, where do we get our religious teachings from? We get it from the Bible. And that's why many Jamaicans, even when they're not Christians, are not accepting of the homosexual lifestyle. Am I, as a restorative justice facilitator in training, to give up these religious teachings that come from the Bible and reject them because they produce people who do not accept homosexual practices? What about fear of God? Look at that. Oh, I'm in the wrong one. What about fear of God? My God. What about fear of God? The Bible teaches that we are to have the fear of God. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment, with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. And it is written in module 8, clientele diversity, that the fear of God is strong in Jamaica, and it fosters or produces intolerances towards homosexual practices. Am I to give up fearing God as a restorative justice facilitator? And even if I don't give it up, is it the intention of the Jamaican government that people don't fear God so that they can practice what they want? Let's go on to module 11, the ethical code. Slide number 8, entitled non-discrimination or equity. Before I proceed, I need to break down what is meant by discrimination. This word discrimination is being misused. Discrimination means, as they are interpreting it, it means to deal with a group of people in an unfair way. That you're not treating a set of people the same way as you're treating another set of people. Let me give you an illustration. We find that the majority of people are attracted to the opposite sex. And then they reach the age when they want to get married. And so we find that is how the majority of people feel and act. Now, discrimination to them means that just as how you give people who are attracted to the opposite sex the opportunity to express their love for each other in the marriage relationship, you must give the same opportunity to those who are attracted to the same sex. And if you don't do that, you're being unfair to them. That's what is meant by discrimination. I want you to know that that is a wrong application of the meaning. Even though the definition is correct that discrimination means unfair treatment of people, it is not unfair in the sight of God to deprive or to prevent people in the same sex relationship from engaging in sex and getting married. You know why? It has to do with the purposes of marriage. When God instituted marriage, He instituted it for the man and the woman. Therefore, shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. When they became one flesh, God said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Fill the earth with people. Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. One of the purposes of marriage is the reproduction of new human life. And the reason marriage is not for same-sex relationships is that same-sex relationships cannot reproduce new human life. And therefore, when you prevent these people from getting into a sexual relationship and getting married, you are not being unfair to them. You are following one of the purposes of marriage. Another purpose of marriage is Malachi chapter 2, verse 15. Why did God make two one? And the prophet said, so that he might seek a godly seed. Marriage is intended to reproduce not just children, but godly children. Children who know God, children who love God, children who respect God, children who obey God. Let me ask you a question. How can two men who have adopted children train these children to be godly children when they themselves are in an ungodly relationship? How can two women who have adopted children train their children to be godly when they themselves are in an ungodly relationship? How then may I, as a restorative justice facilitator trainee, accept this teaching about non-discrimination when the very definition and application of discrimination towards homosexual practices is not right. It is not discrimination. You're just following God's purposes for marriage. So this in itself is wrong. Equity has to do with equality, treating opposite sex relationships the same way as you treat same-sex relationships. But that can't apply to same-sex relationships because those relationships don't fulfill God's purpose for marriage. And it says under this, the RJ facilitator will not practice or tolerate discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation. Well, if I'm not to practice discrimination by telling homosexuals they can't engage in sex, it is not right in the sight of God, you should not get married, and the law should not be made in Jamaica that allows you to get married, they will accuse me of discrimination, but it's not discrimination. The Ministry of Justice will say, you're not a good restorative justice facilitator. You're not promoting non-discrimination. How can I be a restorative justice facilitator and accept these things as a Christian? How? In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, how can I accept this in my training? I may not believe them. I may not accept them. But how can I go through with this when they expect me to believe this and practice it and influence the Jamaican society to believe these things? Influence number three. The United Theological College of the West Indies, a training institution for church leaders from all denominations. That's why they're called United. Under the influence of one male and one female lecturer, has developed, quote, the theology of inclusion, end of quote, which means that LGBT people should be included as members of the churches without having to give up their sexual orientation and gender identity. And this is taken from one of the main founders of lobbying groups internationally, Arcus Foundation, in an article entitled Faith-Based Efforts in the Caribbean to Combat Discrimination, there is your word again, based on sexual orientation and gender identity. Brothers and sisters, we're in trouble. If this well-known and respected theological seminary is training people to be church leaders, they're going to spread their teachings to their members, and soon it will spread all over Jamaica as a teaching of a church. That is a dangerous strategy that is being used. Influence number four, United Nations Population Fund, the Health and Family Life Education Curriculum. An agency of the UN, the United Nations Population Fund, is funding the ministries of education, not just here in Jamaica, but throughout the Caribbean, to teach the health and family life education curriculum to grade 7 to 9 students. The United Nations Population Fund wrote the sections of the curriculum which deals with sexuality. And this is found in the Health and Family Life Education Curriculum, 3rd Revised Edition, Foreword, page 5. In those sections, it teaches that homosexuality is normal. I didn't know that. I think Brother Blake said this morning that it is against nature, that it is unnatural. Romans chapter 1, verse 26. That children may choose the gender which they prefer. Again, society determines gender. Gender is not fixed. That's the philosophy. And also accept other people's sexual orientation, whether they be homosexual, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender. The curriculum teaches that these sexual orientations are mere preferences. Listen closely to this analogy. Just as people prefer different kinds of food, So you have people preferring different kinds of sexual partners. Some prefer same sex, some prefer opposite sex. And that just as how there are different ethnic groups. You have some people of Indian descent, Chinese descent, African descent, Syrian descent. They can't help it because that's the way they were born. You know what they're trying to say? Some people are born homosexual. They can't help it. So don't fight against them. Just like ethnicity, you can't help who you are ethnically. So there are people with different sexual orientations. And this is taken from pages 50, 141, 346, and 258 to 259 of that curriculum. Influence number 5, the Samoa Agreement. Let me tell you, this is a ticking time bomb. This is a dangerous ticking time bomb. The continent of Africa, the Caribbean, and the Pacific countries are promised funding from the European Union through the signing and the implementation of the Samoa Agreement. The Samoa Agreement's conditions of funding are as follows. 1, the ministries of education are required to teach comprehensive sexual education. You know what they mean by comprehensive? Don't just talk about marriage between a man and a woman. You're not being comprehensive. Go on to teach about same-sex relationships. Then you're being comprehensive. That's what the word comprehensive implies. Using the UNESCO International Technical Guidance on Sexuality Education, which says that children may have sex as young as 5 years old if they use a condom, that they should respect everyone's sexual orientation, that they should see abortion as a right, that they have the right to choose their own gender. 2, you can get some cash from us if you promote the legalization of abortion. 3, you can get funding from us if you promote the legalization of lesbianism, homosexuality, bisexuality, gender identity, and transgender relationships. 4, and here it's going to affect every one of you and me. It makes it a criminal offense. Police come into this now. Handcuffs come into this now. Going to the jail comes into this now. It is a criminal offense if you oppose lesbianism, homosexuality, bisexuality, transgender relationships, and abortion. In this document, it says you are being treated as a terrorist. You are under the category of terrorism. Well, I must tell the United Nations, well, I'm one of the first terrorists. See me here. I'm one of the first terrorists in Jamaica. And I'll remain a terrorist. And this is in the Samoa Agreement. Let me move on for the sake of time. Influence 6. Have you ever heard the expression, you never see smoke without fire? Constitutional reform. There is something driving constitutional reform. Members will additionally advise on what fresh perspectives. Notice, fresh perspectives. They are different from the perspectives of people who put together the Constitution in 1962 and in 2011. They are fresh. Perspectives mean the way you see things. You're going to see things in a different way. You're going to take your perspective off from the Bible. You're not going to use the Bible. What are you going to use then? It should be considered in light of previous and current national, regional, or international developments is what you're going to use. What has happened in the past? What is happening now? Locally in Jamaica, regionally in the Caribbean, internationally in the UK, in the European Union, in Canada, in the United States of America, in Mexico, in Colombia, etc. Look at what these people are doing in their countries now. Take your eyes off the Bible and look on what these countries are doing now and change what needs to be changed in our Constitution. And propose any necessary modifications to update the recommendations for implementation. Now let me suggest, because I haven't seen the actual changes done, but I'm taking an educated guess. Fresh perspectives may include the following changes to the Constitution. Number one, the removal of the savings law clause to allow the courts to abolish the buggery law of 1867. Charter of Fundamental Rights and Freedoms, Section 13, Subsection 12, and Section 18, the year 2011. Number two, the removal of the definition of marriage as, quote, voluntary union of one man and one woman to allow same-sex marriage. That can easily be done if you just change the English. It says the voluntary union of one man and one woman. All you need to do is to change the gender. All you need to do is to remove the gender altogether and say the voluntary union of one person and another person. And then it could be argued in court. Person could mean man and woman. Or it could mean man and man. Or it could mean woman and woman. Very easy to do linguistically. So they want to change the Charter of Fundamental Rights and Freedoms and the Status of Marriage, Section 18, Subsection 2, 2011. Now we come to another big one. Influence number seven, the Caribbean Court of Justice. I'm going to tell you a secret. None of the politicians are telling you this, so I'm going to have to tell you myself. The reason behind the swift move to become a republic and to detach ourselves from the United Kingdom. They're trying to use the natural prejudice that we may have towards the UK for the years of slavery that was imposed and say, now we are free from their control. Let us leave the Judicial Committee of the Privy Council in London. We have our own Caribbean Court of Justice as our final court of appeal. Afiwi Republic. Afiwi Republic. Afiwi Court. Leave the Judicial Committee of the Privy Council. Let us embrace our fellow Caribbean brothers and sisters in the Caribbean Court of Justice. All of that sounds persuasive. But they're something serious. They're not letting you know. In every town hall meeting that I've been in, the emphasis has been on the Caribbean Court of Justice. That is what I personally know. But what is wrong with the Caribbean Court of Justice? The Judicial Code of Conduct, May 26, 2020. Requires judges to rule by the principles of diversity, you hear that word, and inclusivity, in order for the judgment to be legitimate. Preamble, page 6, introductory section, page 6. Now here is my personal explanations. There's some big words there that I need to define. Diversity and inclusivity are code words to refer to persons whose gender identity and sexual orientations are different from the majority. And specifically, inclusivity means you include or accept those minority groups that don't conform to the standards of the majority. like the homosexuals. So you're going to rule in favor of them. So if there is any case brought against homosexuality about removing the buggery law based on this judicial code of conduct, the Caribbean Court of Justice has already decided legalized buggery. That's what it is. And that's what the politicians are not telling you. Judges shall strive to be aware of and to understand diversity in society and differences that are based on gender identity and sexual orientation and other like grounds. Code 5.1, page 23. Notice gender identity. Notice sexual orientation. We're going to rule in favor of these people. Judges shall not be a member of. Uh-oh, they caught me right here. Shall not be a member of nor associate with any society or organization which practices or may reasonably be perceived as practicing invidious discrimination. Notice the word discrimination again, wrongly used. Invidious means arbitrary. You have no ground, no reason. You're just doing it out of your own whim and fancy. Or it means malicious, intending to harm. And of course, discrimination means being unfair or unjust to a group of people like homosexuals. Homosexuals gone clear with this court. My God, judges shall not be a member of any organization that promotes this kind of thing. Brother Mitchell, where are you? It means that if you're going to be true to what is in this code, and you want to be a judge, if they ever find out you're a member of a church that hits out against homosexuality, they're going to remove you from being judge. A judge must therefore be astute to take proactive measures to promote substantive equality and to proscribe, that is to forbid, discrimination. Here we have that word again, not used in the right way. Whether perpetuated by lawyers, litigants, or court staff, Code 5.7, page 24. Substantive equality means treating everyone in the same way or showing fairness to all people. This is my final influence, so don't get worried. Influence number 8, the churches and church-related organizations. Churches and church-related organizations rallied together when then Prime Minister Mrs. Portia Simpson Miller on June 9, 2013 said that Parliament would take a, quote, conscience vote, end of quote, whether or not to abolish the law that forbids buggery. We met together for prayers, singing, holding up placards, and preaching at the National Heroes Circle Park later on that same year. This was organized by Prayer 2000. The following year, in 2014, a much larger number of church members across Jamaica and church-related organizations met at the Halfway Tree Clock Tower on the road under the leadership of Jamaica Cause. As far as the eyes could see, there was a sea of people. There were prayers, singing, and preaching. And the crowds were told to use their right to vote to prevent the governing party then from getting back into power. These rallies caused both political parties to be hesitant about abolishing the law that forbids buggery. These rallies made the politicians very afraid of losing votes. If it were not for the churches generally and church-related organizations particularly, the law that forbids buggery would have been abolished from 2013, 12 years ago and counting. What then should we do? We should be consistently evangelistic. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. That means preach whether it is convenient or inconvenient. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. When evangelizing, include what God's word teaches about diverse gender identities and sexual orientation, that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And among the unrighteous are those who abuse themselves with mankind, the effeminate. The abusers of themselves with mankind are men who act like men, but they prefer sexual relations with other men. Effeminate are men who act like women and want themselves to be sodomized by men. These are unrighteous practices, and if they don't repent, they will not inherit the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 to 11. Number 3, do not partner in government programs that promote diverse gender identities and sexual orientations, such as the Restorative Justice Facilitator Training Program. Number 4, make yourself aware of the curricula, such as the Health and Family Life Education Curriculum, the Comprehensive Sexuality Education Curriculum, and even the Religious Education Curriculum. It also had the promotion of homosexuality in the RE curriculum. Where your children are being taught, know the curricula and teach your children what God says and encourage them to accept and to follow what God says. Number 5, educate the churches concerning what God teaches about diverse gender identities and sexual orientations. Number 6, use mass media. It doesn't cost you a cent. Such as online newspapers, call-in radio programs, church radio programs. Well, that may cost you more than a cent. TV programs, Facebook, YouTube videos, and Zoom to educate the society concerning what God teaches about diverse gender identities and sexual orientation. And finally, number 7, email members of the government concerning what God teaches about diverse gender identities and sexual orientations. Or whenever possible, make an appointment to talk to the Minister of Education or to your Member of Parliament. If you want a copy of this presentation, I want you to take down my email address. It's in all common letters. J-O-E, that's Joe, _ Buckland, B-U-C-K-L-A-N-D, @yahoo.com. One more time, Joe, _ Buckland, Buckland, @yahoo.com. And I will send it to you right away for your study and further research. God bless you all. Great.